Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is Doug Oster, DougOster.com. 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020 with a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles. And we're going to take your gardening questions ASAP. So call us at 866-391-1020 and a special guest as well, just moments away. The host with the most, here he is, the Organic Gardener on this Father's Day. Happy Dad's Day to you and your son. It is Doug Oster. Hey, Doug.
Happy Father's Day, Rob.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
How old are your kids?
31, ooh. 23, Bing. And July 2nd, 21.
Wow. 21? No.
And I texted one the other day, and she just got back to me last night. Okay.
Oh, I know how that is.
Doug, our kids, we love them. They love us. But it's a different world, is it not?
It sure is. But happy Father's Day, everybody. I hope you're going to have just a wonderful day today. We're having a brunch, so it's going to be fun. People are coming over. So, yes, Steve Rapaski from Bee Control and Meadowsweet Apiaries will be here to talk about where are all the bumblebees. I've been getting lots of calls and messages. People are not seeing bumblebees, so we'll see what he has to say. He's our expert on pollinators. Now, you can watch my brand new TV show for CBS Pittsburgh streaming every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. It's called In Doug's Garden, brought to you by the Davy Tree Expert Company, or online at DougOster.com. I posted it this morning. You can watch the show there. I'm making, removing the garlic scapes from the garlic. If you're growing garlic, get those seed heads off there. But then I'm making a garlic scape pesto, which was, I think I still smell like garlic. Do I, Rob?
No, you do not.
Also in the show, there's a special video segment about this project I've been doing in Wilkinsburg through Farm to Table of Western Pennsylvania, where we're planting in these fabric pots. We had a lot of fun there. And then Luke Warner from Davy Tree was on the show, and you could see it today at DougOster.com. He's been seeing a couple things on maple trees we have to watch out for. And I surprised him and made him eat some garlic pesto, and you can see how that worked out. Just back from England and Holland. On this Thursday, I'm doing a webinar about my next trip. So Thursday at 6:30, I'm doing a webinar all about going to Portugal. I can't wait. This was a trip that I had booked two other times, but COVID stopped it. 13-day trip, Lisbon, Azores Islands, Madeira Flower Festival, Botanical Gardens, the Portuguese Riviera. It's going to be awesome. So Thursday at 6:30, I'm doing a webinar. If you can't watch then, I'll have it up on DougOster.com. Later in the show, Mrs. Know-It-All will talk fertilizer do's and don'ts. And I just got a text from Han Nursery this morning. If you do not have your tomatoes in yet, Han Nursery, the place where I get my Heart of Italy tomatoes, that is one of my all-time favorite tomatoes. Big, ox heart, meaty, very few seeds. They will give you a free Heart of Italy tomato plant for the first 20 families that show up at their Ross Township business. They open at 10 a.m. today. First come, first serve, one plant per family. They also have all veggies 50% off, and they have huge tomato plants in two-gallon pots that just came in, are brand new for Father's Day, that will get you tomatoes quick, which are on sale now too. Like I said, if you haven't got your tomatoes in, stop by Han, get that free Heart of Italy tomato. Anyone I give that tomato plant to just loves it. All right, let's talk to Steve Rapaski from Bee Control and Meadowsweet Apiaries. And Steve, this is what I've been hearing anyway, getting messages and calls that people are not seeing bumblebees. Is that what you're seeing or not so much?
Yeah, good morning. Happy Father's Day, guys. Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely, this year has been a different year. We are seeing fewer bumblebees than we have in previous years, but we also have to take that with a grain of salt. You know, all insect populations have population cycles that go up and down. This definitely seems to be one of the down years for bumblebees, but it's also eye-opening because we do know over the last 10, 15 years, we have seen a decrease in native pollinators in general, you know, not just from their population cycles, but an actual decrease where we are seeing fewer and fewer of these beneficial insects around.
Is there any way to quantify why we might not see a certain species, or is it
there
just?
There is. I mean, there's research being done to look overall why we're seeing these declines. I mean, certainly as you see a fragmentation of habitat, a decrease in habitat, you know, the habitat loss is getting greater and greater. We're seeing excess use and misuse of pesticides and herbicides, which applies itself to that destruction of a habitat. So we can certainly take a look at some of those things. But, you know, the weather, especially this year, April, as we know, was not very kind to anybody. It was snow and rain and sleet and more snow and more rain and cold temperatures. And that actually impacts our populations as well, because with bumblebees, it starts, the nest itself starts off as a single solitary queen bee. And if she's not able to forage because the flowers aren't blooming, or her nest is destroyed because of freezing temperatures or increased rainfall, that can certainly have a large impact on the population that we are or are not seeing over the course of these summer months.
For bumblebees in particular, is there anything we should be doing?
Yeah, just same as we do with all of our native pollinators. You know, provide that habitat. You know, don't remove your debris from the garden too early. There are artificial nesting structures that you could put in certain areas of your garden for bumblebees specifically. Plant those flowers, those perennials and those annuals that will attract your bumblebees over a course of several months, not just one that blooms in May or one that just blooms in July or August. You want to provide that beneficial food to them throughout the summer months. And, of course, don't use chemicals. You know, that's what we're all here for. We want to minimize that risk to these insects and provide the best possible habitat we can for them.
Well, I finally have borage growing in the garden after all these years of seeing it grow in your garden back when you had a garden. Tell me a couple other plants that are a good choice for people if they're out and about today looking at the nursery that would be great for pollinators, things that you love.
Yeah, well, my garden now, Doug, is a perennial flower garden. I was actually in there this morning pulling out bindweed and all this other stuff that was tearing down my plants, but the borage is blooming in mine. Borage is a fantastic, easy-to-grow plant that's great for all pollinators. Any of your perennials, your bee balms, your mints, things that can throw off numerous blooms throughout the season and are easy to maintain are fabulous. You know, if you're running up to Hans to pick up that tomato plant, you know, look at their perennials. They have a great selection of some very great perennials for pollinators. Again, your bee balms, your mints, borage is an easy seed to toss down. You get into some of the other ones like your hyssops that are great to plant, maybe a little bit more management as far as the gardening itself. But any of those perennials, and a lot of them are marketed as pollinator-friendly, great for bees and butterflies and hummingbirds and things like that. Those are the plants that you want to rely on. Even though they may not be as showy as some of the annuals, they're definitely a greater benefit to our ecosystem.
Well, Steve, thanks for schooling us on pollinators. I'm going to school you on bindweed. bindweed, when it blooms, it looks like a white morning glory, and do not ever pull that. That one needs to be cut down at the ground, because every time you pull it, those white roots go into panic mode and send up two more. So thanks very much for coming on this morning, and thanks for the great information.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Oh, that was fun.
Dr. Wong just sent me a message about killing off dandelions early can actually not do good for bees, because they need those dandelions to kind of do what they do.
Yeah, it's a funny thing with dandelions. We've just been taught culturally that they're a bad thing, but they are one of the most...
They're pretty.
And they're one of the most nutritious plants on the planet, believe it or not. Those greens are just filled with nutrients, and you can eat every part of that plant except the seed head that we used to blow around as kids.
If it wasn't for dandelions, I'd have no flowers at all. All right.
If it was a hard-to-grow wildflower or something, they'd have garden clubs around it. But since it's everywhere, it's like...
People are like, you had a long day at work. You just like, your shoulders are shrugged. You're looking at the sidewalk all the way into the house. I said, because I don't want to see the weeds. It's that simple. All right. 866-391-1020. Doug wants to talk to you about gardening. And he also has maybe a few tips and some ideas for Father's Day if you're heading out to one of our fine sponsors to pick up something for Dad today. So it is Doug Oster, DougOster.com. All of our lines are open for all of your gardening questions. 866-391-1020. All right, just give me a couple of quick things for Dad, then we'll go to the phone.
Like I said, those big tomato plants, all the nurseries are going to have like a big giant tomato. If Dad hasn't got his tomatoes in, you get this big like 2-gallon pot, 3-gallon pot. It got tomatoes on it already. I got one gifted to me in April and put it in the greenhouse. I'm ready to pick probably tomorrow. So
I saw someone in the old neighborhood who had stakes up against the house. They were growing their tomatoes. And it just made me think of my dad. When he stopped having a garden, he still had to have his tomato plants. All right, 866-391-1020. Tom, you're on KDK. How you doing, Tom?
Okay, how about you?
Good, sir.
I was wondering, I'll be harvesting or digging up my garlic in a couple weeks or so. And I was just wondering, what's the disadvantage just leaving the garlic in there and then just harvesting the bulb as you need it until maybe like November, December when, you know, you have to get it out because the soil is too hard?
Well, that's a great question. I guess the disadvantage would be the curing of it. That's the only thing that, and you might be able to do it that way. You might be able to leave it in there. But traditionally, we pull them in July. First off, that gives you time to plant something else in there. I'm always planting beans right after I pull that garlic. And we know the garlic's ready when about 50% of the greens turn brown. But oftentimes, I will pull them early just to take a look at them. And if that white sheath is tight on the bulb, it's time to pull it. You'd rather get it earlier than later. But we traditionally pick in July. That gives us time to plant in there, but also... You spend 3 weeks curing it, hanging it in a warm, dry place. And this is the first year that I can remember that I ever still had garlic left right as we are going to, harvest. And so actually did it, made it last all year round. And it was only because I forgot about, 200 heads I had hanging in the shed, and I saw it out there in November, and I said, oh my gosh, I forgot about all this garlic. So I brought it in so we had enough to last through the year. But I'm wondering, that's an interesting question. I'm wondering if you could leave it in the soil, pick as needed, and then pull at the end of the season. The thing is, the tops are going to just kind of dry up and fall away, so you wouldn't know where they were. I just think it's a better idea. Pull it when it's ready. Well, I guess, and the other disadvantage, now that I'm thinking about it, when you do leave it in there too long, then that white sheath starts to split, and you just have like cloves, and they don't store as well. So yes, pull when those greens are 50% brown.
All right, we need some calls. We'd love to hear from you, 866-391-1020. So I'm out and about working the last couple of days, and people are out in that searing heat, pulling weeds, planting things, you know, flipping dirt, doing all sorts of things. You think people just love to garden, and even sometimes when it's hot out, it's good for the aching bones. They want to get out there.
That is an interesting observation, because now that the weather has shifted, this is when I'm going to be in the garden. And not just because it's so tough on the plants. Now, sometimes when you get, a heat wave like the one that's coming.
And the one we had last week.
Yeah, you've got a plant. I mean, you only have this certain time. But now that we're into this, that's what I'll be doing today. I'll be planting. I'll be transplanting. There's some stuff people want. You know, I'm going to be digging out a hardy banana today for a friend. I'm going to be harvesting lettuce this morning. You know, as soon as I get back in the garden, the morning is the time to harvest, because it got so hot that all that cool weather stuff has started to look like it's about ready to bolt. It's right ready to go to seed, and I spent all that time growing it. So I'm going to harvest all that this morning. But watching the weather is really important for gardeners. And I'm hoping for rain somewhere down the road here. I'm looking right now, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm hoping, because I've been out there watering, and I hate watering.
What kind of hose do you have?
Or sprinkler? Really nice old-fashioned rubber hose. You could remember.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Listen, I remember the flat hose that my father had with the, you know, pinholes.
Yeah, yeah, those were great.
That was like his pride and joy. When he rolled that out, man, we had fun in the neighborhood.
So when I'm watering, I'm trying to water in the morning. Now, I went out yesterday because I was out of town on Friday night and Saturday. I went out and I had to get water in the garden. You don't want to water at night because you don't want something like a tomato or beans to be wet. But watering is better than not watering if the soil's dry. And I got lots of beans coming up, growing garbanzo beans for the first time. But when you do water, try and do it in the morning. Try and keep it at the base of the plant and try and really soak it in. That's important. When you soak in a plant instead of just sprinkle it, those roots just follow that water down. And when things do get tough, they'll bring it up. I use a lot of mulch, too, in the vegetable garden, mulch with straw, and then out in the ornamental garden, use bark mulch. But, man, the deer are after my lilacs. I didn't think they ate lilacs, and so I've got to get that spray on there. I think I've lost my buds for next year already, and I only put those lilacs in because my wife loves lilacs.
So the nozzle, the control, the wrist action, what do you do? Is it up high, let it drop directly on? How do you water?
On the bottom. If it's in the garden for like the tomatoes and peppers and stuff like that, at the base, that's the best place for the water. Putting it on top of the plant, it doesn't need it, and it's a negative if it's susceptible to fungal diseases like a tomato would be, beans, phlox, zucchini, things like that. Keep the water at the bottom if you can, and really important, especially with containers, to keep those watered. That's what I had to water containers yesterday. I would have rather waited till this morning, but it was just, you know, I was gone for a couple of days. It was hot and windy, and, you know, they look stressed.
All right, Susan, you stay right there. We're going to get to your question about your maple tree right after the news at the bottom of the hour. And we would love to hear from you. Doug's actually got a couple of segments left in which we can take calls. Mrs. Know-It-All will be here as well. So load up these phone lines. Anything on your mind in the way of gardening, give us a call. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. And there's nothing better than seeing the whole family out in the yard doing stuff.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
That's right.
It made me felt good.
On Father's Day, Dad watches while the family works in the garden, supervises.
Yeah, but remember my Mulch dad and your dad, here. You're doing it wrong.
Well, that's still the you same. Know, he How has that changed? That hasn't his, changed
his,
anything
his
for me.
His eyes were always bad when he wanted them to be bad. He could never hear when he wanted to not hear. But, you know, when you were doing something you shouldn't and he heard you, he would say something. And if he saw you doing something you shouldn't be doing, he saw that too. But, you know, everybody said, well, they loved it. It was therapeutic. No, they had to do it because they couldn't afford to hire somebody.
You know how many people that I hear from that hated gardening when they were kids? Hated it because it was weeding
right.
and
the work that they didn't want to do.
Yeah, now it's therapeutic.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. 866-391. We never saw lawn service in the neighborhood growing up.
You gotta be kidding.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I drove that tractor. That's what we did. We had an acre. That tractor took like 3 hours.
Had an acre?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. You had a tractor?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Cub Cadet 1200.
Nice. 866-391-1020. Doug is here, and we'd like to make you a winner of a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. 10th caller wins that gift certificate. It's time to go to the phones. Doug Oster, DougOster.com, the organic gardener. Here's Susan on KDKA. Hey, Susan, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I hope you can answer my question and satisfy my curiosity. I have a Japanese maple. It's just a scraggly little thing that never really did too much. And it got run over during the winter by a snowplow. But anyway, it lived. But now it has a new shoot that came out of it. But it's a different kind of leaf on it.
Hmm.
It's not the same tree.
Oh, boy. Well, that's weird.
It is weird. I just thought maybe you had an idea.
I don't. We'll have to ask Mrs. Know-It-All exactly what that means, but that's weird.
It's very weird, and it looks like another maple.
Is it coming from the bottom, or shooting out from, like, the tree itself?
It's shooting out from the tree itself.
Well, that's weird. We'll have to ask Mrs. Know-It-All what that means when that happens.
All right, looking for the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. 10th caller, 412-922-1020 to win that $25 gift certificate to Janoski's. Let's say hi to Jim in Monroeville. You're on KDK. Hello, Jim.
Yes, Rob. I have a question about Pachycandra. I have a good ground cover, a Pachycandra all over my backyard and some in the side yard. And there's one area where it will not grow. And it's been like that for years. About 6-7 years ago, it was starting to thin out a little bit. But in recent years, it's just almost all bald now. And I have did pH. It's about a 6.0. I can't figure out why the Pachycandra isn't growing in this one area about 15 by 20 feet.
So what's the soil like is the question. Is it bad soil? That would be the first thing I'd be looking at. I'd be wanting to improve that soil with just a little bit of compost, and Pachycandra will grow just about anywhere. 6.0, yeah, that's a little low.
Well, I was looking on the internet, and it said it would grow between 5 and 8.5, in that it almost would grow anywhere.
Yeah.
And the soil is the same everywhere. Because I've sampled the soil other places, maybe 6.0, 6.5, and the soil is the same. Now, I did have a European linden tree, which I just had cut down last fall, and there's roots around in that area. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
You know, the Pachycandra should be able to compete with that without too much trouble. My suggestion would be, and you know, your pH might be the same in these areas with the soil, but I'm wondering about the nutrients. One thing what kind of soil test was it that you did? Was it the Penn State one, or was it one like a home one?
It was like a home. I just bought it in a hardware store. I can't remember.
To be absolutely sure, what I would do is I would invest the $9 in a Penn State Cooperative Extension soil test, and that gives you some very detailed scientific results, and especially when we're considering we want to see what the nutrients are. That's what I would want to see. And then, you know your pH is okay, but I'm just wondering about the nutrients. And so I would just do that $9 test, and you just go to whatever your county is, you just go to the Penn State Cooperative Extension website, and they'll send you that. And then you get the soil samples, send them in. Now you'll know for sure, really, you know, what the problem is.
Okay. Okay, I appreciate
All
it
right.
very much.
Thank you.
All right, 866-391-1020. Tom, you are on the air with Doug Oster. This is the Organic Gardener on KDKA. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Doing great.
Good, good. Hey, the reason I'm calling, I wanted to know about weed control using the, you know, newspaper method.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you talk about it, and I was wondering, like, how much newspaper do you put down? And when you put the mulch on top of it, can you actually plant in that mulch after you do it with the newspaper? And does the newspaper have to be wet?
So here's the best way to do it, and you're going to have to kind of tweak it for your garden. But first, you want that, whatever that soil is you're going to be planting in, you want that to be good soil. So in many cases, that means improving the soil first by adding compost. You know, one of the easiest ways to explain this would be like a bed that you were putting tomato plants on. You know, you dump compost on it. You would put 7 to 10 layers of newspaper on top, get it wet. And the only reason you're getting it wet is so it doesn't blow away. And then after that, yeah, you put the mulch on top. Now you can just poke right through that and put that plant in there. But there's other applications that might not be that easy. Let's say it was a perennial bed and the plants are already in place. Now you're going to have to take those 7 to 10 layers of newspaper and kind of work them in between the plants. Let's say it was a bulb bed. Then you'd be almost impossible to use the newspaper. So it depends on the garden. But you want that soil to be as good as it can be. Then the great thing about putting that newspaper down, again, 7 to 10 layers thick, it's organic. It's soy-based, water-based inks. The only thing we don't use are the shiny inserts from like a Sunday paper. And it was funny. I was just talking to somebody, and she said that she contacted the local paper, the Observer Reporter, and they were happy to give her a couple, I don't know what you call them, oh, bundles of papers, and that's how she did it for her garden. And once you get that wet, get it on the ground and get mulch on top of it, you will not have weeds.
Well, the area that I have, I don't have anything there, so I'm okay with that. But you were saying that before you put the newspaper on, you have to amend that soil with like good topsoil or something like that.
It would be compost. I would recommend compost or a compost blend. Okay. Something good because
is there any type of compost that you recommend or just basic compost?
Find a good nursery close to you that will, you know, I don't know how much you need, but I don't know if it's like bags or yards depending on the size of the area, but find your good local nursery, and they'll either have it by the bag or you can get a truckload, depending on how much you need. Okay?
Well, you know what? I saw that the manufacturer Preen, they have mulch with weed control. Is that effective or no?
See, when we talk about Preen, there's two different types of Preen. That's the problem. There's a chemical version and an organic version. The only way I'm going to put anything on is going to be organic. And the organic version of Preen, it basically just stops weeds from sprouting, weeds or all seeds from sprouting. It uses something called corn gluten meal. And that's what I would recommend if I was choosing one of those Preen products. But you have to know exactly how to use it. You know, if annual weeds are already up, that's not going to work.
Mrs. Know-It-All coming up next with Doug Oster on The Organic Gardener, Rob Pratt Sunday, KDKA. And she is back.
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's horticulturalist Denise Schreiber. And Denise, before we start talking fertilizers, did you hear that question about a Japanese maple? It got run over by a snowplow, lived, and then put out a different looking branch than a normal Japanese maple. Any ideas?
Okay. Well, I did hear that. So two thoughts on that. It could be from the graft, because most Japanese maples are grafted. The other thing could be what we call a witch's broom, and since it was run over and it's kind of, you know, it's like getting hit by a car, and then, you know, you might limp a little bit after getting hit by a car. So that could be it. But, you know, without seeing it or having it tested, there's no way to tell. The other thing is the gentleman who has the Pachysandra and is losing it, uh-huh, that could be Volutella blight, and he would have to send a sample up to Penn State's Buckout Laboratory. It's free. You know, you just go onto Penn State's site or Google it. Volutella blight can be very destructive. There's really no organic fungicide that will take care of it, like Serenade. You actually have to use something else. But he can, you know, first get it correctly identified, because since he's having the patch die out and it's getting bigger every year, that leads me to believe it could be Volutella blight.
All right, let's talk fertilizing.
Okay, so, you know, you see the commercials, particularly for some of the larger companies, we're not going to mention names, and it has a little attachment onto the hose, and they're doing what I call magic wand watering, only this time they're doing it with fertilizer, and it's on the leaves. So the leaves will take up a little bit of fertilizer, but first and foremost, we need to know that the fertilizer, along with the water, needs to go to the root system and not the leaves. That's kind of like whipped cream on a sundae, but it's not, you know, the main thing. Then you have these temperatures that we've had, which have just been, I don't even go outside, you know, when it's 90. It's like, forget that. And what happens is, even though a lot of people will use a granular fertilizer that'll say 3 months, in high temperatures, plants are using the nutrients faster. So if you have those granular ones in there, you want to make sure that you supplement it in this weather. And always when you're going to fertilize, especially a container plant, you want to make sure you've watered it well at least 24 hours ahead of time to make sure you don't burn the roots when you use fertilizer, no matter what.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that, because I know that when we've talked before, that, yeah, if there's a rain or, like you said, you water your container first, then add the fertilizer, right?
Yeah, you water it like the next day with the fertilizer. But you water it first the day before. You know, right now, even though we've had so much rain, we can actually use the rain. I was driving last night and saw weeds wilting on the side of the road. That is not a good thing when you see weeds wilting.
Not for a gardener, it's not. Any other tips for fertilizing?
Yeah, and, you know, there, if you have flowering containers, there are fertilizers that you can add, you know, granular, that actually improve having more blooms on them. But, you know, no matter what you use, you know, read the directions. Don't just willy-nilly fertilize. You know, I only fertilize my vegetable garden once every couple of weeks. The rest of the time, I just make sure that it's well-watered. That's always a clue. And then you want to have houseplants. Totally different fertilizer than what you use outside because they have different needs. You know, some, you know, are like a cactus or a succulent type. They actually want to have something with a lower nitrogen number than, you know, like basil out in the garden. You know, totally different fertilizer. So that's what you want to do is, you know, when you're buying fertilizer, think about what your the use for it is going to be. But always remember to water first, then fertilizer. You know, it's kind of like your skin's very dry, and you're putting some kind of, like, you have poison ivy or something. Well, actually, what you want to do is make sure you're very well hydrated before you do that. So the same thing with plants. When they're happy, they're going to be happy to eat more, you know, the fertilizer. That's the best analogy I can give it.
We got about a minute. Talk about not using too much fertilizer. Like you said, following the directions on the packet.
Absolutely, because no matter what fertilizer you're using, if you put in too much, you can actually burn the roots. And depending on the plant, whether it's flowering or leafy, you can actually stop that motion of their, if they're going to bloom. It might be too much. It's too much stress. It's like having a glass of wine is good. Having a bottle of wine at one sitting, not so good.
Depends on who you ask.
Well, yeah, you, for instance.
All right, Denise, thanks so much for all that information. Appreciate it as always. Mrs. Know-It-All, she's got it going on. I'll be answering questions after the show, as always, at DougOster.com. Thursday, 6:30, tune in for a computer webinar all about my upcoming spring trip to Portugal. And if you don't have your tomatoes yet, you can go to Han Nursery today and get a free Heart of Italy tomato. It's first come, first serve. There's about 20 plants left. One plant per family, but they have a bunch of veggies on sale, half price, and some big tomatoes. Make it really easy for you. Like I said, for Father's Day, boy, handing Dad a giant tomato plant would be perfect, especially if he doesn't have his tomatoes in yet. And it's not too late to plant. In fact, this is a great time to plant tomatoes, especially on a day like today. Don't make Dad do it. Make Dad supervise you doing it. Get that tomato in the ground. He'll definitely appreciate it.
Whereas your friends used to say, come on, he's not going to notice just one missing. And I'm like, you don't know my dad.
Oh, he's going to notice.
Yes. Hey, come here. What happened to this one tomato?
Anyway. Yeah, that's like the one that I have. Well, it's just coloring up. If like a squirrel got to it or something.
You would notice.
Yes, I would definitely notice. Remember, organic gardeners, you make the world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.